Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm delighted to have the opportunity to speak with you today. Coming to church and hearing the sermon every week is always a highlight, and I walk away every week with a precious nugget of information, something to consider for the rest of the week. Somehow, the messages seem to be just for me, something that I need to hear, and I think all of us feel that way. We walk away hearing exactly what nourishes us and what we need to hear. So I hope that some of the thoughts I share with you today will resonate with you. Last year, Jack Leslie gave a wonderful sermon about the Colombian peace process and his instrumental role in helping the government of President Manuel Santos bring an end to the conflict with the FARC. I had the great pleasure to travel to Colombia last spring with Jack and Caroline, Tracy, Tish, and so many friends who are here today. And we had the amazing opportunity to meet with President Santos, members of his family and his staff, and to really understand the unwavering courage and commitment that they gave to the peace process, which made it possible. The visits we had in Bogota and Cartagena really helped me understand the extent of the conflict and the years of terror and violence which have torn the country apart. There were monumental obstacles that had to be overcome time and time again to reach the peace process. The stakes were very high for everyone, even for high-level government officials who paid with their lives to seek justice. So this morning I thought I would continue in Jack's footsteps to talk about the importance of seeking and pursuing peace. While conflicts are often ongoing, I will argue that peace is not a static state of being, but is one that needs to be nurtured and maintained. Just like in Colombia, where the peace agreement was not the end game, but the beginning, which is still being tested today, a fragile beginning. When I speak about seeking peace, I think it applies to all aspects of our lives, not just international affairs, domestic politics, but personal relationships too. In the Bible, there are many examples which tell us that being a force of peace is a fundamental part of what we are called to do as people of faith. The Bible tells us, and I'll share a scripture that is in your bulletin, in Peter chapter 3, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessings, because this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. Seeking peace and finding a higher road has been a passion in my personal life and in my professional career. We all see in our lives how escalation of rhetoric and conflict is not a sustainable long-term strategy. It results in destruction and suffering for everyone. The teachings from the scriptures, which call us not to repay evil with evil, is a basic one of not seeking revenge. But honestly, since I'm not in the clergy, I can admit to you that since I was a little girl, I always thought that turning the other cheek was not a great solution, especially not on the playground. And I wondered, isn't there a third option? One that doesn't involve aggression or subjugation? Or maybe my interpretation is incorrect. So I've come to understand the scripture in a new way that is not about submitting to aggression by turning the other cheek to be hit again, but to take this opportunity to become a leader and a force of peace. The answers and the solutions are not always clear, and every incident and situation triggers us and challenges us in a new way. But that is why we come to church, to aim to be our higher self. To be honest, while I don't always succeed, or perhaps rarely do, in reaching my ideals, it's the seeking and pursuing, which is a constant part of my journey. And I try to make peace and diplomacy my guiding principle. Currently, in my professional role as the Deputy Director of National Outreach for the Iran Project, I work with four former U.S. diplomats and security experts who are dedicated to finding workable diplomatic solutions to the conflicts in the Middle East, and more specifically with Iran. As you can imagine, it's a complex and at times seemingly unachievable goal, but to be taking part in the thinking and dialogue is a challenging and enlightening experience, to which the alternative in most cases would be military action or war. I help our experts publish op-eds, write statements, hold forums and meetings across the country to provide balanced analysis and propose political and diplomatic strategies to achieve U.S. national security objectives in the region. I think this passion for seeking reconciliation in difficult situations comes from my childhood, from living with the stories of my parents whose families were destroyed during World War II. My father was a young boy, young Jewish boy, hidden with strangers in Europe during the war. And my mother, a young Russian ballerina in Berlin, who was held in a labor camp at 16 to work on ammunitions. She died of lung cancer when I was in my late 20s, in part from the particles of metal in her lungs. My parents both came to Canada to pursue a new life full of hope and beauty. My mother founded Les Grands Ballets Canadiens, a major ballet company in Montreal, and my father became a leading impresario, determined to bring art, culture, beauty, and meaning to the world. For them, art was their form of diplomacy, and for a long time, it was mine too, until I found my passion in international affairs. The UN was created after World War II to contribute to peace and security by providing a platform for dialogue and collaboration among countries. The founders of UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, believe that the rule of law, respect for human rights, and freedom of expression would be strengthened through international cooperation. The American author and poet Archibald MacLeish, the first American member of UNESCO's governing board, wrote the preamble to its 1945 constitution. The full text is in your bulletin. It's a bit too long to read, but if you allow me, I'd like to share some paragraphs that clearly capture the spirit of its mission. Since wars begin in the minds of men, it is in the minds of men the defenses of peace must be constructed. That ignorance of each other's ways and lives has been a common cause through history of mankind, of that suspicion and mistrust between the people of the world through which their differences have all too often broken into war. That a peace based exclusively on the political and economic arrangements of governments would not be a peace which could secure the unanimous, lasting, and sincere support of the people of the world, and that the peace must therefore be founded, if it is not to fail, upon the intellectual and moral solidarity of mankind. What does this mean? To me, it means that international arrangements of business and politics are just not enough to keep a lasting peace. There has to be more solid bonds between people, between the hearts and mind of people, based on common principles and deeper exchanges. Paul has asked me to speak about my work today, and so I'd like to tell you about a project I've been working on for 12 years called the Premium Imperiale. The Premium Imperiale is an international art prize whose mission aspires and contributes, I think, to the principle outlined in UNESCO's preamble. And I think that the interesting thing about this is hopefully that it illustrates that peace can be achieved, or at least worked towards, by sometimes surprising means, like the arts. The Premium Imperiale was founded in 1988 in honor of Prince Takamatsu, who was a great supporter of the arts and who wanted to open Japan's outlook to the world. Beyond economic arrangements, he believed in the need to build peace and build bridges of mutual understanding through the arts. Much like the Nobel Peace Prize, which recognizes individuals in the fields of science and literature, and of course, peace, the Premium Imperiale recognizes the greatest artists of our time in the categories of painting, music, sculpture, architecture, theater, film, and dance. Laureates of the prize include Mikhail Baryshnikov, Zaha Hadid, Daniel Barenboim, Philip Glass, Tom Stoppard, Anish Kapoor, and Athol Fugard, to name a few. All giants in their field who've changed our way of thinking, hearing, seeing, and enjoying the world. This year, we are celebrating the 30th anniversary of the prize, and I'm heading to Japan this week to attend the awards ceremony events with Emperor Akihito and his brother, Prince Hitachi, who's a patron of the prize. And each year, the artists demonstrate in their unique voices that boundaries can be broken and great art comes from all parts of the world. And each year, we celebrate the beauty they create and the spiritual introspection and the enlightenment that their works bring to the world. Leonard Bernstein, one of the first Premium Imperiale laureates, told us, "The key to the mystery of a great artist is that he or she will give away his energies and his life just to make sure that one note follows another, leaving us with the feeling that something is right with the world." In that respect, the mission of the artist, I would argue, is much more than to entertain. They hold a more important role today than perhaps in human history. While technology is smaller and information more accessible through a touch of the finger, somehow we've become increasingly divided in our ideas and willingness to understand each other and find common ground. Regardless of our political beliefs, we tend to limit our exposure to media sources, newspaper, TV, online media sources that reaffirm our belief. And so the divide between us is growing and the center is hollowed out. Therefore, the few spaces that remain common grounds, like the art, have never been as sacred and essential. When I speak of the arts, It's not just for the museum goers or the very few. It's important to understand that art, like spirituality, is an essential part of our lives and not separate from our everyday existence. For every art form, whether it's a visual arts, performing arts, architecture, music, is a universal language which reflects our common human condition. It helps us understand ourselves in a much profound level and others beyond the boundaries of race, religion, and nationality. Some of you may have seen the film, The Pianist. It's a real-life story of Ladislav Spielman, a Jewish pianist and composer in Poland who lived through unspeakable horrors during the war. Towards the end of the movie, Spielman is completely emaciated and doomed. He's caught by a Nazi officer while hiding in a freezing, dilapidated house in Warsaw. And somehow, there's a piano that survives on the first floor. But instead of arresting or killing him, the officer asks him to play something on the piano. And Spielman plays Chopin Nocturne in C minor. And for that moment, while the music and the notes fill the room, it doesn't matter who is the Jew and who is the Nazi. There's an instant realization of a common humanity and a recognition of a greater purpose. In a way, coming to church for me is a similar spiritual experience. Listening to Paul and Laura's words and sermon, hearing the choir sing, helps me focus on what is important and put into perspective what is not. Sitting in a pew like you are right now, and letting the blessings we receive wash over me, I become one in spirit with all of you. Like an instrument, I come to church to be tuned, to be renewed, and to resonate to a higher purpose. The words and the music become a form of communion and reconciliation with myself, with you, with the world, and most importantly, with God. As I head to Japan this week, I think of the lessons I've learned not only from the laureates of the Premium Imperiale, but also about Japanese philosophy and aesthetics, which is often defined by two difficult to translate words called wabi-sabi. Unlike the Western ideals of striving for perfection and achieving the eternal, wabi-sabi teaches us to live a full life and to celebrate impermanence and imperfection. For instance, visiting a Zen garden or a temple in Japan requires one to be observant. It's a solitary act of contemplation and not action. Just like a tea ceremony is a beautiful ritual and not about drinking tea. Recently, I learned about kintsugi, an art form of repairing broken pottery with gold powder. The Japanese believe that enhancing the cracks and flaws of an object reveals the history of an object, making it even more valuable and beautiful as it bears the mark of time and individuality. For a type A person like myself, learning about kintsugi was both incredibly liberating and inspiring. To me, the kintsugi pottery is a beautiful metaphor on so many levels and a reminder that a way forward is possible even in the most difficult conflicts and situation. So I realized that, yes, we live in complicated times. Our national discourse is broken. Our personal lives are not always easy, and we are not always perfect. But like the art of Kintsugi, our faith, and I think our very soul compels us to have hope. Yes, to have faith and hope, and yearn for forgiveness, and to try our best to mend the broken shards. As our scripture today teaches us, we must continue to do good, seek peace, and pursue it, whether through the arts, diplomacy, spirituality, or any gesture of patience, kindness, compassion that can help construct the defenses of peace in the minds of men and women of our time. And that is not just for the diplomats. It's for all of us. In our daily lives, in our interactions with our friends, family, children, spouse, colleagues, neighbors, and so on. At the Premium Imperiale ceremony in Tokyo, the brilliant playwright Athol Fugard, whose wife is actually sitting in the pew with us today, Paula. Athol's work, his plays, contributed to the radical change which occurred in South Africa. At the ceremony, he reminded us that many of the artists, as it is in all countries around the world, paid a very heavy price for raising their voices in protest. In his moving remarks, Athol explained that it is the duty of the artist to, at all cost, make something beautiful from the raw stuff of living. And while all of us may not have the ability to be great artists, we can choose to make something beautiful of the raw stuff of living in our lives and in that of those around us. Especially as people of faith, that is what I believe we sign up for and what we are called to do. In closing, I'd like to share with you a few lines from a song called Anthem by Leonard Cohen, a fellow Canadian and Montrealer. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget about your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That is where the light comes in.
Lord, hear our prayer. We lift up all the individuals in our church who are dealing with health issues and are currently in the hospital, at home waiting for results, are on their way to recovery. Please embrace them and their families in your loving care. Lord, hear our prayer. We also pray for all the families that were in the path of the destruction of Hurricane Michael. Be with the families that lost loved ones, with the families that are in survival mode, that have lost their homes, businesses, and personal belongings, and don't know what to do next. Help them to see a small ray of hope and your presence in their life. Lord, hear our prayer. Our world is filled with so much friction and unrest and the inability to work together. Please help each of us to slow down and not make hasty comments that we will regret later and or react in a way that will fuel the discontent. Lord, we also want to thank you for all the wonderful things you have done for each of our lives, big and small. Help each of us to take the time to recognize your blessings on a daily basis. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, thank you for the many ways this church is having a lasting, positive impact on the community and for the outstanding leadership that is willing to share of themselves. Amen.